one of the first thoughts that I have had concerning Cheryl is that she's a part of a great cloud of witnesses. Her life left a testimony, and she became one of those witnesses. So there were other witnesses that were before her. We could name some of them out, but they had the same. Sister Velda, this was her song. I'm a winner either way. There have been others that felt that same way. While it is fresh on our minds, I felt like that the Lord wanted us to share some things, some highlights. I know the congregation is fully aware of Sister Cheryl's testimony and her life. We were witnesses. She's a witness, but we're also witnesses. The many times that she, when she wasn't able to come and she would give her testimony on Zoom, and she spoke so clearly. Her voice was strong. And she often said similar things. But what she did, she magnified the Lord. She often said, you know, some people thought she was strong. And in some ways, she was strong. She was strong in the Lord. But she would say, no, I'm not strong. But God is. God is the one that sustained her and upheld her, and she always wanted him to be glorified. So recently, I did speak with Heather, and Heather said that her mother, she said to her mother one day, I wish I could help bear this for you. Oftentimes, that's how we may feel. We may wish that we could share in the suffering some way, but we're unable. So Cheryl's answer was this, and I felt it so appropriate because we all can relate to her testimony of what she has said. But she said, this is the path chosen for me. You will have a path, speaking of to Heather, but I must walk this path. And we've heard Cheryl say different times as a congregation that she prayed, whatever it takes, put those things in my life that will help me make heaven. That was her goal. I think that what the congregation has witnessed has been more than her journey. I believe it has been the goodness of God. Cheryl loved life. It wasn't like she wanted to go on. She loved her family. I will say from my own perspective that I've never really witnessed anyone love their family any more than Cheryl did. She cherished every moment that she was with her family. It left an impression on me. But I also witnessed in my relationship with Cheryl, and which began a number of years ago, and I won't go into the details, but Cheryl and Dan had been in another state, and they came back up here, and Cheryl was disenchanted over some issues of life. Somehow God brought Cheryl and me together. It wasn't like we had been close friends before, but God brought us together. I didn't try to counsel her, but I listened to her. And we developed a bond. And I can only say it was God that brought us together and gave us a friendship that I will always cherish. Yes. So I can witness that she loved life, that she loved living for the Lord. She, from a little girl, her testimony, we've heard it here in the congregation. I can't remember if she was six. She was very young, and one night she was under conviction. She ran to her parents' bedroom and got down by the bed and said, "I want to get saved." And it was something that followed her to the end of her life. I can also witness that Cheryl was never ashamed of the gospel. She was never ashamed of living for the Lord. She, in her witnessing, it was never done in a way that casting something in your face. She, it was just a part of her life. She was just simply not ashamed of living for God. She openly spoke about her doctor, didn't she? It was just her choice, and she knew it was right, and she lifted him up throughout her affliction. I always looked at that as she was positive when it came to putting her trust in God, and how that she made her consecrations and never looked back. I know I'm not saying anything you don't already know. But in what we have today, I hope to leave a positive impact on each of us concerning God. Because that's what Cheryl would want. She wouldn't really be in favor of us lifting her up or commenting about what she did. She would really want us to promote God to each one of us here today. So it was her choice. She chose the way of the cross, and she never regretted it. I want to say also that God was and is, and I think we'll always be magnified when we think of Cheryl's life. It won't be how she suffered, but it'll be on those times that she called for prayer and God answered. And then there was praise and thanksgiving, and I wonder how many times that we all started singing here in the congregation, "God is so good." It became sort of a theme song in this congregation. I'm going to say it still is. God is good. God still answers prayer. I have a poem I want to give this morning because it spoke so, I think, clearly of her life. It says, as a beautiful story artfully told, our moments, our days, our years unfold. There's birth and babyhood and little girl years. School days, Saturdays with laughter and tears. Teenage, adulthood, and tender romance. Young wifehood and learning the art of the life. Excuse me, I left out a line. Teenage, adult, and tender romance. A courtship, a wedding with love to enhance. Young wifehood and learning the art of the life, of serving the world as a minister's wife. Sweet motherhood, pressing her little ones dear, so close to the bosom and kissing each tear. Some chapters with love and joy are bright, some dark with distress and sorrow to blight, but all interwoven with hope's strong thread, a long life's rough pathway God's hand has led. God's love tells the story, a beautiful tale of mercy and grace that never will fail. Wasn't that beautiful? That spoke of all of her life, I think. There is something I want to mention and that I deeply appreciated in Cheryl. And that's when she prayed. There were times that Dan and Cheryl prayed for me. And Dan would nearly always lead out in prayer. And then Cheryl would pray. She had such a tender prayer. It always affected me. And I always appreciated the gentleness that she had. I'm not enlarging her above what she was. This is what I read in her and felt in her. And there was someone that also told me a similar story, said, I don't know if it was at Monarch, it could have been at Monarch, but Cheryl prayed with them at Monarch and she said the same thing, that her prayer was so gentle. You know, gentleness is a great positive characteristic of our life, but it didn't happen with her accidentally. It was the way that God worked with her. She was the clay. And down through the years, oh, she faced the hard places too. But she was able to be tempered. And out of that tempering came a gentleness that I hope we never forget. I called that the work of God in her, and I believe that she had a gift in that. I have a scripture, Psalms 37:4. And it says, delight thyself in the Lord. And this word, Lord, is all capitals, so you know what that means. That means that represents God himself. When it's a capital A, a L, and the other letters are small, it represents Christ. But this one is representing the God of heaven. So when we delight ourselves in the God of heaven, it says, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Did Cheryl get some desires of her heart? She got many. That's the goodness of the Lord. He's looking down. He is pleased with her delighting herself in the Lord. And so when she got a desire, he granted it. Not very long after she was diagnosed, she desired her whole family to get together at Christmas. And so they went to Missouri and rented an Airbnb, if I remember correctly, and it was a very large house, and her whole family was there. She couldn't have been happier. God granted that. You know, there have been others that have passed through this same situation, and God granted their desires because they were delighting themselves in the Lord. I recently read the testimony of Sister Rose Sammons, and I'll just briefly tell you what God did for her. And I'm saying these things that it be an encouragement to us, that if we come to these places and if we have been delighting ourselves in the Lord, that we can ask and he will give. Sister Rose Sammons had the very same affliction that Cheryl did. And by the time she was diagnosed, it was said, you have 2 months. At the most, you have 2 months. And she said, but I had some desires. She had a daughter that was getting married. She desired to be at that wedding and see her daughter get married. This was in April that she was diagnosed, and the wedding was in June, I believe. Sister Rose Sammons started getting better, stronger. She saw her daughter get married. She was at the wedding. But she had some other desires. She desired to see her sons graduate, and that was over a year away. She saw her sons graduate. She desired to see a grandbaby. She went to Monarch that year and found out she was going to be a grandma. She saw her grandbaby. She saw her grandbaby have a birthday when she only had 2 months. Oh, it pays to delight ourselves in the Lord. He loves to give us the desires of our heart. Well, Cheryl had some more desires granted to her, and I confess to you, I talked to Heather and found out confirming these other things, but Cheryl loved the saints in Germany, Austria, and they, Dan and Cheryl, had gone a number of times, and she desired to go again. She was able to go to Austria one more time. She was able to go to Germany one more time. God gave her the desire of her heart. So she desired. When she heard that Heather was expecting a baby, she desired to see that baby. And she saw her. Her grandchildren were so special to her. But you know, it went beyond just seeing that baby and holding it. She witnessed that baby's first birthday. That was her desire. God spared her. Just a few months ago, two, maybe three, her sister Pam was here visiting. She and her sister were very close, and Pam desired for Cheryl to go with her to eat down in Bricktown. Spaghetti warehouse, maybe, I'm not sure. And here we get a picture of them sitting in there eating together. God gave her the desire of her heart. Number of times she wanted to go for special events to Clint and his family, and Pam was able to supply the transportation, and she got the desire of her heart. Yes. But remember, she had been delighting long before her affliction. She had been delighting in the Lord, and He kept His word. He gave her the desire of her heart. And then it was just a short time ago when she was in her hospital bed in her room and unable to get up again. Brooklyn's sixth birthday came. Heather went to town and bought a gift from Grandma. And I think they had cupcakes, and they had a little birthday party right there in her room. And there's a video of Cheryl singing Happy Birthday. She got the desire of her heart. I'd like for us to sing a song together, and I think it's put on our congregation. And it's called I Still Trust You. Cheryl never faltered in trusting the Lord. So I'd like for us to sing that song together.
I know your love.
Precious song, and I believe it was a song that she could sing and raise her hand. I think she loved, I know she loved trusting the Lord. Dan and Cheryl felt led of the Lord to come to Oklahoma City many years ago. Wonder if anybody can remember. Well, not everybody here would have been here then. 16, maybe 17 years ago. Dan said that he felt like that the Lord wanted him to come here to be mentored. And I think I said to him, I don't know how to do that. I did not believe they were going to stay. It was such a distance, and he drove to the city every day for work, and I reasoned it out in my mind. They'll get tired of this. They'll quit coming. They assured me they would not, and they have not. And what a blessing that they have been to this congregation. Oh, we would have missed out on so much had Cheryl and Dan not made those sacrifices. You know, they became the faithful ones. Every service, it was rare for them to miss services. They carried a burden for this congregation. Cheryl, this was her home congregation. She loved everybody. She loved the saints. She loved the family of God. She loved them in other congregations. But you that were of this congregation, you were special to her. I'm very thankful that God sent them. It was not easy the night that Dan sent the text. Thursday evening, August the 1st, about 10 p.m., Cheryl is now in heaven. I didn't expect it that quickly. She won her last battle with pain. I think that's part of the song. And she won it. So I have one more poem I want to read. And oh, there's another little thought that comes to my mind, and I've seen it in other places, but it's speaking about death. And it starts out, and we're standing on the shore, and we're watching this ship leave, and those that are on the shore, they say, the ship, the sails are at the horizon, and then it goes beyond the horizon, and they say, she's gone. But then it says, where did she go? There was someplace else that even in a ship, it's arriving in a port. And people are there looking on and saying, here she comes. I have a feeling it was that way. That even though Dan said Cheryl is now in heaven, and in essence he's saying she's gone, there were those over there that were watching her coming. Isn't that precious? The title of this poem that we want to end with is Along the Golden Streets. Along the golden streets, a stranger walks tonight with wonder in her heart. Faith blossomed into sight. She walks and stops and stares and walks and stares again. Why would the writer of this imagine a newcomer to heaven? Because the scripture says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard what he hath prepared for those that love him. And whenever you and I reach that place, we will be amazed, shocked. It'll be hard maybe for us to comprehend that this is what has been prepared for us. The writer said, visions of loveliness beyond the dreams of man. She who was feeble, weak, and was in a bed, now climbs eternal hills with light and easy tread. She has escaped at last the cruel clutch of pain. Her lips shall never taste her bitter cup again. She bows in speechless joy before the feet of him whom, seeing not, she loved while yet her sight was dim. Along the golden streets, no stranger walks today, but one who longed for heaven's home is home at last to stay. So she won it. She won her crown. I hope that some of the little thoughts that we have given here will be a comfort to the congregation here. We had another song that we wanted. Oh, excuse me. I can't help but give another scripture. It's very appropriate. It's Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And we all know what that chapter is about. It's really called the Heroes of Faith, isn't it? And there's something that we need to hear, because sometimes there are questions. Why? I'm going to read verse 13 and 39. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Skipping down to 39, says something similar. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And I'm going to say in this life, because she was a winner either way. If she stayed and received a healing here, she was a winner. But if she went or left, she was a winner. The song I had in my mind, which some do not really know, I thought it was a familiar song. And if we could possibly sing it, just even the chorus of it, I think it's appropriate to end with. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore. I remember when Sister Souter, and it was long before she died, but I ministered to her often, and she said something to me long before she died. She knew she couldn't stay, but here's what she said. She said, "Maxine, when I get over there, I'm going to be beckoning for you to come." Now, whether that's possible, I don't know. But it was always a comfort to me to know that she wanted me there too. But you know what? God wants us there worse than we want to be there. So I don't know, is anybody able to sing maybe just the chorus of that song? Do you know it, Dan? They didn't know it.
It's all congregation, what, the chorus part?
You were doing a good work for it.
If we never meet
again this side of heaven, as we struggle through the storm and strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of dismiss with prayer, and I'm sure that the meal will soon be ready for us in the back. Our gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before Thee to acknowledge Your goodness, Your mercy and Your compassions, to acknowledge every time that You heard prayer in Cheryl's behalf. We could not count them all, Father, but we lift up Your name in honor and praise and glory for Your faithfulness. Father, you know that death is hard. You know the sorrow. You know the grief. And we're asking for you to comfort Cyril's family, to put your loving arms around them, to minister to them as they go on with life, that you will be there to sustain them and uphold them. In Jesus' name, we pray that you will bless our afternoon service. We pray that you will bless the meal that is going to be set before us. We pray that you will bless little Josie with her sixth birthday. This child has been so precious to this congregation. You ordained it to be so, that she be a part of it. And Lord, we pray that you will guide this child and guide all of our children and our young people, and minister to them and prove yourself to them. Bless our congregation. Bind our hearts together in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.